book of Romans, and I thought that we're in Romans 1. I think we've got as far as about verse 4 or something. But I'm just going to read a little bit from Romans 1, okay? Starting from verse 4. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we, having received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are you also, the called of Jesus Christ, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Just want to paint a picture here of what Paul is saying as he's spelling these things out. And it continues through the rest of the chapter. Watch this. Paul is writing from a place in Greece as he's writing the book of Romans. Corinth was a place where anything goes, basically. Culturally, anything went. If you know, you had, you wanted to live any kind of life, then there was nothing barring you in Corinth. Corinth, they would say to someone if they were, you know, very free in the way they lived, they'd say, oh, he's a Corinthian. It became a byword for those people who had very little morals. And it was a busy city place, you see. So Paul is writing this letter, giving Christian teaching, the foundations of the Christian teaching, in a place that had very little Christian ethics or Christian morality. And in a sense, you know, when you look at Britain these days, Britain is a post-Christian society. We have places very often that, are totally and explicitly against the church and the Christian way. I mean, they really don't want the Christian way at all. If you have a look at the television, for example, and television means tell a vision, television, you see the vision of this modern society. It's a very different vision than the Christian vision. Now, the thing is this, it's understandable. There's nothing surprising in that, because if people don't have a code of ethics or morality that's based on God and God's best plan for mankind, then it's no wonder the people go off and do all sorts of things and want to do their own thing. It's no wonder, because it's what they call hedonistic. In other words, it's pleasure seeking. I mean, if God isn't in the equation, you might as well just go and have fun and enjoy yourself and seek pleasure. Why not? Why not? But if God is there, and if God made mankind, and God says, you need to live this way, your body isn't your own. Or you think your body's your own. Your body isn't your own. You got it on loan for a period of time. And then, as the Bible teaches, it's the judgment. And Jesus, the one who we as Christians follow, he is the one who teaches that at the end of this time on earth, there is two destinations. And Jesus teaches that there's a broad road, and many people are on that broad road, and it leads to destruction, hell. There's a narrow road, and it leads to life. Now, many people, when I say that, say, oh, Pastor, I don't want to hear about that. I know you don't want to hear about it. I don't necessarily want to hear about it either. I much prefer to hear about nice things. But the truth is that this is what the gospel has. This is what the gospel teaches. And the thing is this, right? To have integrity and to be genuine, you have to understand things in their context. And so Paul is looking at this society, not wagging his finger, judging them. He's looking at this society and he said, oh, I want the best for you. I love you. I want the best for you. And God has got a way. And let me show you his way. You tried your way. Let me show you his way. And because his way, a path less trod, is the way that leads to a deep satisfaction. I'll explain it like this, okay? There's a man that I know who has had so many girlfriends, he's lost count. He's a friend of mine from the old days, as it were, but I still see him occasionally. And he's someone who has sadly drifted into that. In fact, we parted friendship really because of that, because I didn't like it. I didn't think it was right. And so, but we see each other now and then. Anyway, I was speaking to him and explaining about the Christian life. And the illustration I used was this. When I met my wife, I said, you don't need all of that. I said, it's a con. Needing all these things, it's a con. I said, you think that's the best thing. It's not the best thing. It's actually the worst thing. The very thing you think is the best thing is in fact the worst thing. Sometimes the desires that you have, if you had them come true, it's the worst thing you could ever have done. I said, when I met my wife, I said, it was an old-fashioned thing. Writing letters in the post. Michael was in San Francisco. Writing letters in the post. When the mailman came and I heard a letter, I ran to the door in case it was one from Micah. And it was old-fashioned. And it was, and the... romance built and built. It's an old-fashioned thing. You know, you don't have that with the type of thing that he was involved with. There's no romance, none of that. But I said, you've missed out on all of it. All of the beauty and the wonder of the whole thing, the romance, old-fashioned. Call me a romantic, whatever. But I tell you, there's nothing that matches that. The beautiful unwinding of that and the time that takes and the, I mean, that's just beautiful. It's a once in a lifetime thing. Nothing matches it. Nothing matches it. And I just felt sorry for him because he'd been conned. He thought that he was having a, because the world tells you that that's the best thing. Oh, what a great dream that would be. But it's not. It's a nightmare. Paul is saying the same thing in Romans here. He's saying, listen, all the stuff that you're used to, you Corinthians, let me tell you, there's another way. And it's the way of the master. It's the way of the maker, the creator. Hey, have you ever had a new appliance or a car or something like that? And you've got the owner's manual. And if you're like me, you don't read it. You don't read it at all. And then what happens? You try and use the thing, you find out it's not working like you thought it would. And then you try it again. And then you finally get to the owner's manual. Say, oh, that's why I got to do that. It's just like that with the scriptures. God loves us so much. He saw that we were trying to live our way. We were messing it up. He gives us an owner's manual, the new covenant. This is the way to live a life that is the right life, the deep life, the life that lasts, the life that is abundant life and really is the riches of God. This life is the life that he's talking about in Romans. And so, I want to say that, and I should really say this, that Romans is talking about a new covenant. What Paul is introducing here is something that's part of the new covenant. So some of the people he's writing to the church in Rome, and many of those were Jewish Christians. They'd been converted at Pentecost, and the church in Rome was established by the time that he's writing to them. But he's writing now to introduce this new covenant, okay? So the covenant was understood by those Jews as the strongest thing that could exist. You know, a covenant is something, in the Hebrew, the Jewish way, you would cut a covenant with blood. You remember, if you were a child, I did this once with friends. We were like Red Indians. We were pretending to be Red Indians, that we called them in the films, where they cut their wrists, and then they were blood brothers then. They became blood brothers because your blood flows, you into you, you into you. It was a blood brother thing. It was a very silly thing to have done, but I did do it as a boy with a good friend. We became blood brothers. So the thing was this. This is what Jesus does on the cross, you see. He cuts a covenant with his blood. It's the strongest thing that exists. And so as we take this Holy Communion today, we're reminding ourselves of this blood covenant that exists. And the covenant is so strong. I just want to touch on it. Even before I go any further in this chapter 1, I just want to touch on this because this sets the tone, really. Just very quickly. Number one, the new covenant is based on grace, not law, okay? So under the new covenant, our righteousness is received. It's not earned, okay? So this was a completely new concept to these people. They had never heard of it. That God would make you righteous just through belief. They were used to religion and religious duty and having to perform and keep to the rules. So this was a completely new thing. I mean, it was amazing to hear. And the truth is, it's still amazing to hear. If you're not amazed by the new covenant, you haven't quite understood what's being said. So be amazed, okay, that God says, if that's all you've got to do is believe in Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross, that on the cross he sucked up all of your sin, he took it all on the cross, and he imputed into you his righteousness. Oh, my word, you mean I'm really righteous now? Yeah, you're righteous now, but I haven't done anything. That's right. You can't do anything to earn righteousness. So all you've got to do is believe in what he's done, and then you're righteous. But surely it can't be that easy. Yes, it's that easy. That's all it is. It's just that. There's nothing that he wants from us apart from that belief. Then you're righteous. And now you have a walk, and that walk then takes us on a journey. Now that's another subject. But the initial start of it is that righteousness that's a gift. It's so beautiful. And Romans teaches this throughout Romans. In chapter 3, for example, it says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, Romans 8:1, most people know this verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's a beautiful thing. He doesn't say less condemnation. He doesn't say this just a little bit. He says there's no condemnation. What do you mean? All of those things that I've done wrong in my life, those secrets that no one knows about, those secret things that I've been harboring in my mind, those things that I'm ashamed of. That's right. No condemnation. Oh, the liberty of this gospel. Oh, the extent of the gospel. It's the most glorious thing. This is the most glorious thing ever known. You see, the law was like a treadmill. No matter how hard you run, you never arrive. Got to be a good, I've got to try my hardest, I've got to try. Oh, I failed again. Oh, I messed up again. And you always mess up and you always fail. That's just human life. It's like a treadmill, the law. But grace is like an elevator. You just step on it and that's it, you arrive. What a difference. But religious people try and get you onto this. And by the way, watch who you watch on TV. Watch out. Because there's a lot of those teachers, they love to get people onto the... You know, no, it's so good with Jesus. It's so good, it's free. And then, just quickly, the second thing, the new covenant creates a new nature. It's not just forgiveness, by the way. It's actually a new nature. You're not just an improved sinner. You have a new creation now. You're a new creation, the Bible says. In fact, the Bible says you're a different species of being. So if you really believe in Jesus, okay, according to the New Testament, you may look like you're just an ordinary person. But if you believe in Jesus, you're not just an ordinary person, you're a new species of being. Actually, a new species. You know, the world classifies people into black, white, you know, conservative, labor, males, females. It's all rubbish. None of it counts. The only thing that really counts in the sight of God is if you, I like to say it like this, because they like to talk about colors, you know. If you're red. In other words, if you've been washed in the blood. And if you have, then you're red. And so, if you're red, you're redeemed. And that's it. That's the only color God cares about. It's the only thing God cares about. Doesn't care if you're male, female, or any of that stuff, obviously. But the world out there tries to, you know, always trying to create tension and problems for people. The gospel, it just draws people in with this beautiful truth. So salvation isn't merely a legal transaction, as it were, spiritual rebirth, but the believer receives the life and nature of God. Now listen, I've got a challenge for everyone here this morning, okay? The New Testament calls you a righteous person based on your faith in Jesus. So the New Testament says, oh, you believe in Jesus. Actually, do you believe in Jesus here this morning? If you do, just say, yes, I believe in Jesus. Okay, so then this is for you, okay? This is for you. There is therefore now the life and the nature of God residing in you, okay? Because you believe in Jesus, you're a new species of being. And God says, because of that now, that must work out of you in some way in your life. There must be a something taking place on the inside because of this life that causes you now to want to work it out somehow. And so he says to you, you know, well, okay, how are you working it out? How are you working it out? Oh, say, I'm not sure. Well, the thing is, look, what he's saying is this. He's saying it must work its way out. Don't be soft with yourselves. Don't be gentle with yourselves when it comes to this. Be gentle with yourself when it comes to grace and go on the elevator up. But I'm telling you this, Jesus expects when you get to the top, he's expecting that actually because you got to the top via the elevator, that now you want to do something as a result. He's not expecting you just to stay at the top and just stand there like a dummy. He doesn't want people standing there like dummies. He wants people involved, doing something. And that doesn't mean necessarily, something in the church. It's just something, whatever it is in life, that you are living now as someone who's a new creation in Christ. And it's proved in the life that you have. You see, he says this. I'll refer to Romans again. In Romans 6, he says this. Our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin may be done away with. He says further in 6:14, he says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. There's a power in grace. He says in Romans 8:10, he says, if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. In other words, that what happens is when someone looks at your life, it looks different than other people's lives. There's something about you that's different. There's a buoyancy you have. When you face trouble, you're a little bit different because of Christ in you. There's a buoyancy. There's a determination. There's a power. It's different. You're different. And it's clear to other people. Are you with me, everyone? You know, Paul doesn't say sin shouldn't rule. He says it shall not rule. So, 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says this. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. My friends, this is very far away from a lot of what we have in the church in the United Kingdom today. And I feel so sorry for people because I tell you what, I don't know what they're receiving in some of the places, honestly. I feel so sorry for people because this is the truth, okay? That sets people free. But I think what they're receiving is a nice little social sort of whatever it is. I don't quite know what it is, frankly. But what I'm saying is this. We have to be honest with ourselves. And we have to be honest with ourselves so that we can be all that God's called us to be and do all that he's called us to do. Honesty is the right way. And allowing this then to shape us. You see? All things have become new. Imagine adopting a child, from poverty into royalty. You wouldn't keep calling them a pauper, would you? You wouldn't call them a pauper anymore. You teach them how sons and daughters live. Of a king. The new covenant doesn't just forgive our past, it redefines who we are. It defines who we are. You see, it says, look, I am a new creation in Christ. That's a covenant that God has cut with his blood on the cross. I enter in by belief. Now, because of that, I can live differently. I have access to a power now. I have access to the power of God now. But here's the thing, okay? I get 25 minutes, something like that, on a Sunday. The television and the world and other people's stupid opinions gets an access all week long. Did I say stupid opinions? Oh, good. Yeah, so what we've got to do is this. We've got to classify things very clearly and be clear about it and say, look, I'm a new creation. It says this, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. He's writing this from Corinth. Corinth was a rich place. Lots of money in Corinth. Lots of excess. Lots of satisfaction. If you wanted it, Corinth had it. Like a big city today. That's what Corinth was. It was a commercial port. And so he's writing this from there, but he's saying this. Hey, this life that I'm talking about, he's saying, what, you think that life is good? You've not seen anything like this life. They that receive an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. Reign in life. That's what this book of Romans is teaching us. That you and I, we're meant to reign in life. Who reigns? Kings and queens reign. So God is saying to us, look, you are meant to be now my people on this planet Earth. I've given you the opportunity now to live this way. I've empowered you to live this way. The Bible talks about the power that we have, the power for transformation, the power for change. Every area of our lives, we've got access. And so God is saying to us, look, now then, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to tap into this power? You want God to really, you know, do something with your life? And so Paul is saying to us, and he's introducing it in Romans, this great life is available. That's all we have to do is accept it. And we accept it by now paying attention to what it says and then believing it. There was a day when I decided to believe that I could, and I remember the day, I spoke to a man and he said, you can pray for the sick and they'll be healed. And when he spoke to me about it, I didn't believe. And then as he spoke a bit more and as we looked into the Bible, I thought, you know what? He's absolutely right. Everything he's saying is right. And there was a war going on in my mind because I'd been to theological college. I'd studied the Bible. He didn't have a degree in theology. I was the one with the degree. I was the one with all the qualifications. But he was the one who was living an experience. And he said, well, this can happen and this can happen and this can. And there was a point where I just said yes, and I yielded. And guess what happened? I started to minister to people, and miracles started to happen. I saw the power of God manifest in people. I saw the testimonies. I heard the testimonies. But what it took a change of thinking based on what the Bible was saying. So look, you may have a situation in your life today that may be a difficult situation. You may be facing a health situation. You may be facing a particular need. There may be difficulties going on emotionally or relationships or something like that. Please do this. Please, just try this. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Do a Bible study. It's very easy now. If you can go online, you just do a simple Bible study on that subject. Say, give me all the New Testament scriptures on this subject. If you can't do that, ask me. I'll do it for you and send it to you. And say, I want to study this subject. And then find out what the Bible says about that subject. And then apply that subject to your life. Apply the Bible's wisdom to your life. You'll find that this will change your life. But it won't change a thing if it's just in the corner of your bookshelf, gathering dust. It doesn't work. It changes when we take the time to study it and then really apply it to our lives. My precious brothers and sisters, it'll answer every question you've got. It'll answer questions about your business. It'll answer questions about your health, your resources, your future, your most importantly of all, eternal destiny. So I advise this morning, as Paul was advising as he introduced the book of Romans, please know who you are in Christ and understand all that's available to you now in him. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. 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 Amen.